KDW 1590 AM Denmark, W250 CV Green Bay, and always streaming
ABC
on
News,
the Civic
I'm
Media
Preston.
App.
A court appearance this morning for the suspect in Philadelphia in the pre-4th of July shooting. 6 shot, 5 dead Monday night. A 40-year-old gunman is accused of being armed with an AR-15 style rifle and a handgun while wearing body armor.
We'll be facing multiple counts of murder, and we'll also be facing multiple counts of aggravated assault as a first-degree felony, weapons charges, among others.
Philadelphia DA Larry Krasner, a 2-year-old and multiple teenagers were hurt in the shooting. That shooting previewed a night of gunfire in multiple cities after the 4th of July fireworks. Several shot in Boston and in New York City. In Washington, D.C., 9 people shot in a neighborhood drive-by, including a 9-year-old and a 17-year-old. Their injuries not life-threatening. The White House staying mum after a substance believed to be cocaine was found inside the West Wing. President Biden was not there at the time. More tests are being done on the powder. This is ABC News. Ever since Elon Musk took over Twitter, potential competitors have been cropping up, and now ABC's Rebecca Jarvis says a heavyweight could be jumping in soon.
Mark Zuckerberg's Meta expected to unveil a Twitter clone called Threads later this week. On the heels of a tumultuous week for Twitter, owner Musk announcing, seemingly out of the blue, limits on the number of tweets users could read, leaving many in a foul mood. Twitter Tuesday calling the temporary measures necessary to ensure the authenticity of our user base.
Social media platforms like Twitter and Facebook won't be hearing from the Biden administration, at least when it comes to some controversial posts. A federal judge ordering the administration not to contact companies over potentially false or misleading posts. The judge saying that could violate the First Amendment. And teeing off for 2 at the U.S. Women's Open this week, golfer Amy Olson saying she is playing the tournament at Pebble Beach while 7 months pregnant. Sherry Preston, ABC News.
For Civic Media News, I'm Pete Schwabe. Here's what you need to know in Northeast Wisconsin. A man was found dead in a ditch Tuesday morning in Sheboygan. According to the Sheboygan County Sheriff's Office, an emergency call came in shortly after 8 a.m. The caller told dispatch they heard a loud noise and found an unresponsive man in a ditch shortly after. The man was pronounced dead at the scene. An arrest was made in the incident. The names of the victim and the suspect are being withheld during the investigation. 3 children were seriously injured in a crash in Oneida. The Outagamie County Sheriff's Office received a call around 6 p.m. Monday evening that there was a single vehicle crash near the intersection of County Road EE and County Road H. When deputies arrived, they found all 3 children with serious injuries. They were taken to the hospital for treatment. Police arrested a 22-year-old Oneida woman who they suspect was intoxicated. The incident is still under investigation. Pete Schwabe, Civic Media News.
Living happily ever after isn't always a reality. If you're over 50 and are considering divorce, attorney Andrea Gage with the Everson Law Firm can provide the guidance you need. Andrea focuses on silver divorces, the kind that get more complicated over time and present unique challenges. A family, multiple properties, significant assets. Andrea and the team at Everson Law have the experience to protect your interests. Call Everson Law to set up an appointment with Andrea today. It's never too late to be happy. Everson Law, 920-435-3734. The Talk of Green Bay, 1590 AM and 97.9 FM WGBW programming is broadcast from the Bug Tussle Studios.
Bug Tussle, keeping you connected to the world around you.
This summer, 1590 AM and 97.9 WGBW has a new starting lineup. Starting at 6 a.m., the Mayor and Mino. Then at 8, the Earl Ingram Show. 10 to 12, As Goes Wisconsin. At noon, Civic Media Network News. At 12:15, Town Call. 1 to 3, the Todd Alba Show. 3 to 4, Matt Flynn Direct. 4 to 6, the Devil's Advocates with Dom and Crude. And 6 to 7, the Maggie Dawn Show. On 1590 AM and 97.9 WGBW.
The Maggie Dawn Show.
Democratic candidates are held to a higher moral standard. I don't see Representative McCarthy calling for George Santos to shamefully leave the halls of Congress. It is never principle above party. It is never principle and policy above person and personal achievement for Republicans.
The Maggie Dawn Show.
Monday through Friday at 6 p.m.
on your local Civic Media radio station and on the Civic Media app. Up North News Radio with Pat Kreitlow.
I have Corrine Hendrickson, part of the Wisconsin Early Childhood Action Needed group.
It feels like they're trying to pit the teachers against the parents, and all of us can come together to say, look, stop trying to, you know, divide and conquer and work with us. And they're still trying to hide and say, well, the JFC cut it. There's nothing I can do. Yes, there is. You can vote for the amendment to continue child care counts.
Up North News Radio with Pat Kreitlow.
Weekday mornings 6 till 8
on your local Civic Media radio station and on the app.
I'm Smokey Bear, and I made an assistant to help you out, because only you can prevent wildfires.
Hey, Assistant Smokey Bear, call me Papa Bear, because I'm grilling up dinner. Do you get it?
Yes, good job.
So, what should I do with all these coals?
Don't just toss them out. Put them in a metal container, because those embers can start a wildfire.
I understand. The stakes are high.
Ha, 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 ha.
Learn more at SmokeyBear.com.
Brought to you by the U.S. Forest Service, your state forester, and the Ad Council.
Hey, son, how are you feeling?
I'm fine, Pops.
What's on your mind?
I can't explain it.
When your kid can't find the language, find the lyrics. Start a conversation at SoundItOutTogether.org. Brought to you by Ad Council and Pivotal Ventures.
But we also proved that I'm not always nice.
But even when you're upset and even when you're ticked off, you still come from a place of compassion and love. Whereas I'm just old, bitter, and jaded.
Moving Wisconsin forward, one joke at a time. This is Kristen Bry with As Goes Wisconsin.
Yada, yada, yada.
Hello, Wisconsin!
How young is too young to ride naked in public? We're coming out with probably a controversial topic that happened in Madison. That I found over the weekend. I hope everyone had a lovely, relaxing, fun, non-too-explosive 4th of July. I hope you all have your fingers still.
Yes.
But this goes back to Madison's naked bike ride. And there was a 10-year-old girl who participated in the naked bike ride back in June. And a picture of her ended up on the internet. And so both people who participated in the event and people who saw the picture of the event during the event obviously were concerned. But police and prosecutors have concluded that state laws aimed to protect children from exploitation or abuse do not apply to this incident. And I don't even know where I come down on this yet, because it's kind of this question, because the naked bike ride, both in Milwaukee and in Madison, is a protest of oil. It's also supposed to be a celebration of your body. If you're teaching your children to not be ashamed of their body and they want to participate, and it's not a sexual thing in general, but also, like, there's a lot of creeps out there.
Yes.
And so having your 10-year-old be in public naked also feels not like the best decision. And so I would love to hear from you today on how young, or like, when, at what age can people make decisions about their body? 844-967-2789. That's 844-96-PARTY. Greg Bach.
Hello.
Jane Mednair.
Good morning.
How was your long weekends? We'll get to how our weekends were later in the show today. But happy to be here with both of you. And who has the stronger feelings? Who would like to react to this scenario first?
I have a sneaking suspicion that Jane has a strong feeling about this. I am still ping-ponging this in my head, going over every aspect. I'm like, I feel like, I don't know. Jane, take it away. Take it away, Jane.
Okay. Okay. I understand the whole thing about wanting to be body positive and instilling that at a young age. Is this the right way to do that? I don't know. And I also think you'd have to be a pretty sophisticated 10-year-old about anatomy not to be kind of surprised by what you're seeing.
I mean, see that many flaccid schmeckles
and things and
schmeckles and parts
flopping and bouncing and I just I don't think that's old enough.
I have a feeling this is my assumption to be correct is that if your child says yes, I would like to do this with you, whomever the parent is, they've probably been taught for a little while at least that, you know, this is your body, this, you know, like given some basic idea that like, this is what we look like, you know, and hopefully
it's probably a big nude house.
I was thinking the same thing for sure.
Like, it's funny because I just was thinking my husband likes to walk around the house naked, and I asked him that. I was like, at what age is this girl gonna have to be when you feel like you have to start
covering up?
And he didn't have an answer. And I was like, I guess we'll cross that bridge when we get to it. But like, at some point, you can't just, you're not going to be able to just walk around the house naked.
Kristen, at what age are you going to be like, hey, cover up?
But, you know, and so and because also like with little kids, like you think about the 4th of July and all the different parades and parks and stuff that people were doing yesterday. And when you see like a 3-year-old who's decided to strip down and run through the park, you know, I mean, I was that 3-year-old, right? Like, I had a naked stage where I was just, like, running through the neighborhood with no clothes on. And my mom's like, oh, God, come back.
Not me. I was born in just, like, a denim overcoat. Just never wanted to be naked. I'm good to go.
And so, like, it's, like, 10 specifically feels like also an age that where it's, like, you are still a child. You are likely prepubescent. Though some girls have already gotten their period.
Sure.
But you're still very much a child, but you're also kind of old enough to know what's going on and to know that, like, I am actively participating.
You're making some decisions for yourself.
Yeah. And it's like, I also get the idea that that is the part of the protest, right? Is the part of, I mean, part of the what I imagine the naked bike ride is, or any kind of nude protesting. And it's supposed to be kind of make other people uncomfortable. But, like, does that extend to children? And, like, my biggest problem with all this is that picture should have never gone online.
Absolutely.
Oh, like, correct. Whoever was taking the pictures of the event should have seen that and been like, all right, we don't need to post this one on Facebook.
Exactly. Yes.
So I'd like to focus more on, like, attending the event as a child and whether or not that is too young. But if it is too young, what age can... Is it 16? Is it, I mean, because they're still a minor if they're 16, is correct. It, do you have to be 18 like, to be able to participate in an event like this?
You're 10, but you have to have basic coverings. And then you're like, well, this is defeats the purpose. And like, but they're children, but so what? Really what the ride sets out to do is what we're doing right now, which is questioning our own thoughts on the matter. Because of course, yesterday or the day before, whatever it happened, we've been like, yeah, it should never happen. It doesn't happen. You know what I mean? And now we're faced with this actual thing, and we're questioning our own thoughts on it, because at the end of the day, we're also questioning our own hang-ups.
Yeah. Yeah. Well, we'd love to hear from you. Would you let your child, 10-year-old, prepubescent kid, be in a naked activity
that's primarily full of adults?
Would you ever do this? Do you have a problem if other parents choose that it's okay for their kid? 844-967-2789. That's 844-96-PARTY. You can text us, you can call us, you can, if you're watching the live stream right now on YouTube, Facebook, or Twitter, you can leave a comment. These are the kind of questions where, I think some people probably came down very strong on one side or the other, and I'm really struggling with where I fall on it, because there's a part of me that's like, ideally, this would be fine.
Yeah.
Don't live in an ideal world.
Yeah, if we live in a society that didn't have individuals who saw this as trying to avoid language that even takes it further. You know what I mean? Like I want to be as open as possible, but I also don't want to say anything. One, I don't want to make any big jokes, because this isn't funny. But like, also,
we can make jokes about the naked, because I just feel like riding a bicycle naked does not
just
feel comfortable.
Like 300 just, me's riding to, oh dude.
Like, it feels like there's just like the seat situation on naked, like they make padded shorts for a reason.
Hard pass. I'll donate money. I'll drive an electric car. I'll clap for you while being respectful, but you will never,
ever get me to do that. Ever. If I'm telling you this right now, As Goes Wisconsin listeners right now, people on the Civic Media app, branding. If you ever see me in a naked bike ride, I have been captured and replaced by a robot. A very confident robot who has no problem with their, that's right, I said their, who knows, the robot might be non-binary, their sexuality, their body image, all the things, but no, that's not me.
Would it, is it because of comfort or because you just would never want to be naked in public?
Yes.
Okay, got it. All of the above.
Yeah.
844-967-2789. If you want to check in, you can text and or call 844-96-PARTY. Bill from Fond du Lac is joining us. Good morning, Bill. What do you think?
Good morning, Bill. Excuse me. I'm Bill. Good morning. I'm just trying to understand how people are okay with child pornography. And that's what this is.
Well, so I think that's the question.
And child abuse.
Well,
is it a question?
Law enforcement came down and said this is not child pornography.
Oh, it's not. So if I had a picture of a 10-year-old girl naked, that's not child pornography.
We already established that the posting of the picture is not up for debate. That should not have been done. We're talking about the actual event and whether or not a child can, should do this with or without a parent, that kind of thing. We're not talking about the picture being published.
That's naked in, a child naked in public is not child pornography then.
So we're not debating. We're saying what the facts of the case. And if you could, I mean, you are obviously free to continue to think that this is totally wrong, but the facts of the case is that the prosecutors and law enforcement looked at this and they're not furthering the case at all. They're saying in this situation, they are not considering this to be child pornography or exploitation. And so it goes back to the parents, which is why we're discussing it.
Well, the parents are trash. That's just straight up what it is.
Okay.
And this is an example of where our society is headed. And the fact that you are twisting your, all of you are twisting yourself into knots trying to say that is indicative of that.
Well, I mean,
I'm sorry that you don't have a problem with this.
Okay.
I don't know that we've said that, Bill, specifically.
Listening to you hum and, you know, stammer about what it is evidence of that.
Okay.
Call it like it is. Call it what it is.
We're trash.
No, I said the parents are trash.
But in,
and you're accepting it.
Then in sense, I'm trash.
No, well, you're calling yourself trash. I did not.
Okay.
I said you accepted it. The parents are trash.
I didn't accept it. We haven't accepted it. We're asking questions and we're trying to further the conversation. That's what we're trying to do right now.
Well, the fact that you're trying to have a conversation about whether it is appropriate for a 10-year-old girl to be naked in public tells me that you have that you're accepting of this. You're trying to justify it somehow.
Well, it's been justified.
That's what it is.
It's been justified, and so now we're having a discussion. Yeah, I mean, if there's no consequences to it happening, has it not been justified?
So that means it's justified. That means it's justified because somebody says, I mean, decent people of good standing moral values are not saying something. That means it's justified.
Then you have then the problem
if
you need to take up with.
If there was a boy and a girl there, you'd be okay with that.
Well, now you're just inventing situations. But I would just say, if they have a huge problem with this, I would take it up with the prosecution and the police. They're the ones who said there's no problem with this. So, but thank you for the call.
Thank you for the call, Bill. We have to take our first break for the day, but we have some text on the text line. We have some comments on the live stream. Would love to hear from you on this topic, 844-967-2789. And we'll be right back. This is As Goes Wisconsin.
This summer, 1590 AM and 97.9 WGBW has a new starting lineup.
Woo-hoo!
Starting at 6 AM, The Mayor and Mino.
Then at 8, The Earl Ingram Show.
10 to 12,
As Goes Wisconsin. At noon, Civic Media Network News. At 12:15, Town Call. 1 to 3, The Todd Alba Show. 3 to 4, Matt Flynn Direct. 4 to 6, The Devil's Advocates with Dom and Crude. And 6 to 7, The Maggie Dawn Show.
On 1590 AM and 97.9 WGBW.
If I could be you,
and you could be me,
for just 1 hour,
if you could find a way
to get inside
each other's mind
Walk a mile in my shoes.
Walk a mile in my shoes.
Walk a mile in my shoes.
We've all felt left out. And for some, that feeling lasts more than a moment. We can change that. Learn how at belongingbeginswithus.org. Brought to you by the Ad Council.
Walk a mile in my shoes.
Sometimes I just cannot believe all the storms we've gone through here.
I can only hope that we'll be able to leave this house to you one day, baby. You're our legacy.
Planning for these disasters will make sure we're safe, and is the best way to protect that legacy.
Protect your legacy. Visit ready.gov/plan for the tools and tips you need to start your emergency preparedness plan today. Brought to you by FEMA and the Ad Council.
Here's your updated forecast. Scattered thunderstorms likely this afternoon, otherwise cloudy. High temperatures reach up to 83, winds out of the southwest, 8 to 15 miles an hour. Scattered thunderstorms likely tonight, lows level off around 61, cloudy skies expected. A mix of clouds and sun tomorrow, slight chance for scattered showers. High temperatures reach up to 76, upper 70s Friday and Saturday. Chance for scattered rain showers Saturday. For Civic Media, I'm meteorologist Ray Miller. Right now, it's 84.
This summer, 1590 AM and 97.9 WGBW has a new starting lineup.
10 to 12,
As Goes Wisconsin. At noon, Town Call.
On WGBW.
We're having a heat wave, a tropical heat wave. The temperature's rising, it isn't surprising.
Well, welcome back to As Goes Wisconsin. I am Kristen Bry. She is Jane Madnair. He is Greg Bach.
Greg the Trash Bach.
Greg the Trash Bach. And I should say, it's interesting with Bill's call of feeling like this is supposed, I guess this is supposed to be like, it is an ethical and more moralistic conversation. Because ultimately, legally, nothing's happening, right? Like, yeah. Legally, the scenario is prosecutors have looked into this, and this is from reporting from the Journal Sentinel from Hope Carnup. And because there is no legal ramifications for this, it's now left up to our judgment.
Yeah.
You know, of like, so clearly some parent thought this was okay.
Mm-hmm.
And also, like, there's people who are quoted in the article saying, you can't tell any aged person if they can protest and what they can and cannot protest. And so there's like people who are coming down on the other side of this, which is why we're posing this as a question. We're not defending the mother or parent, yeah. I should say. I don't know if it was a mom or father who let their 10-year-old do it. Like, we're having more of a higher level conversation versus just this.
Well, I think when you come at it and you say, when your opening salvo is, you're just okay with child pornography. I know I'm not going to get much further than that.
Yeah.
And I haven't said what my opinion is. One, I'm not a parent. And I'm not saying I have to be a parent to have an opinion. But I'm not saying what my opinion is one way or the other right now. We're just having the discussion. Because at this point, like, do we make this a major thing? Do we go insane about it? Or do we just say, it happened. We can talk about it. No one was hurt. And hopefully that picture is taken down and we move on. And maybe they'll make some rules for the next year. Who knows?
And that's the thing. It's like, do they make, at events like this, do they start saying no children can be involved?
Well, and Texter John from Menomonee Falls says, hello, everyone. Personally, I'm against it. This isn't my thing, so I don't choose to participate. However, we won't have to worry about it for very long because Robin Voss and the rest of the Republican enforcers of morality will be crafting a ban to outlaw this from ever happening again.
Who was that?
That is John from the Falls.
John, I got to say, that gets the Greg the Trash Bach Boomerang Award of the day of taking that story and making about my favorite guy, Popcorn King Robin Voss, who, by the way, was very vocal on Twitter yesterday.
What was he tweeting about?
He was smacking back at people who were posting about him. Didn't do anything for me. Thanks a lot, Robin. But yeah, he was getting all up in his Republican britches. Oh, yeah. And he has feelings. Who knew? Okay, moving back to topic.
Well, we can go back to that because in our next segment with headlines, the good, the bad, and the goat, Robin Voss has indeed made one of those three topics for headlines. So I'll let you guess which one.
The ugly? Oh, sorry. Move on.
that. We have a couple comments on the live stream. Tony says, you should have to be 18 to be naked. Imagine having a parent pulling out an embarrassing naked picture of a kid when they are an adult. But instead, a bunch of strangers have that embarrassing picture and it's on the internet.
There's something.
I don't disagree.
No. Like, I mean, that's the thing is do we say kids can't participate, kids can't be naked, or somehow policing the media that's there, pictures and video and whatnot.
But that doesn't, but there are people there and it's live.
Yeah.
And predators tragically are all over the place.
Yeah.
And I think this was a bad choice and I think it should have to be 18.
Okay.
I do.
All right.
So you can't, because in reality, then that's the other thing about the naked bike ride, right? Is in the form of protest, it is not indecent exposure, right? For like obscenity laws. You can't just walk around naked on a Tuesday
alone
because you're hot, right? like there are obscenity laws and indecency laws mm-hmm. that like you have to be in a certain context to be naked in public. And so this falls under that apparently, but it's like there are no laws as far as age restrictions on that protection of protest, and so it's like it just gets in this murky place that who knows, maybe there will now will be laws against yep. it because yep. this has popped up, and I just it's the same thing that goes into like do your kids are your kids' brains fully formed enough yet to like know the like to truly consent? Because you think about we like at least in Wisconsin, the age of consent for sex is 16, isn't it?
I believe so. I'll check.
And
my age of consent was 23. But what? Sorry.
All right, we got Joe, a comment from Joe, a couple of comments from Joe, actually. Letting kids do this, my first thought was no, but after some consideration, I've concluded, hell no.
I'm glad it was hell no. It's a hell yeah.
And regardless of age, wouldn't we have to destroy every bicycle seat that was ever used at that event?
That's a bigger,
seems like a good waste of seats.
That's a bigger question to be asking. I feel like we're getting, like, who, ow. Ow.
Also, doesn't the seat get hot? Like a June bike ride? Wouldn't it? Yes. You know, sometimes this it's just a black,
no, thank
black
you.
Bike seat.
Hard pass. But no, I like what, I mean, it seems, I feel like our gut instinct for all of us is, whether it's explicitly or implicitly being said is, no, this isn't good. This isn't a good idea. And it's not because anyone here wants to stifle the creative or protesting mind of a child. I love seeing kids at protests. I think it's amazing. But there does have to be a level of protection. And if you're a parent who says, well, that's not your job, you're right. It's not our job to protect the child on a certain level, but we want to make sure the children are safe to another degree that we can as a society do without totally destroying their freedom. But once again, I don't think the Constitution really covers children anyways. So I feel like our implicit idea and explicit idea is that it's not a good idea. It's just not, it sucks that it's not.
If it's like it's falling through the weird like cracks of the law,
yeah,
it's still I think most people's reaction is kind of like
it's probably
no, or it's like Bill's, which is hell no, yeah. Or Joe McClear's,
yeah.
And so I feel like I don't know. It's a strange topic. All right.
Well, by the way, quickly, Wisconsin has two ages of consent. The first is 18. Then you can consent to any sexual activity. If you're 16 or older, you can consent to sexual contact, which is a slightly different thing. That's not intercourse.
Mine was still 23.
And on that note, we're going to take a break. When we come back, some headlines, the good, the bad, and the goat. This is As Goes Wisconsin.
The tropical heat, the way that she moves that.
This summer, 1590 AM and 97.9 WGBW has a new starting lineup.
Starting at 6 AM, The Mayor and Mino.
Then at 8, The Earl Ingram Show.
On WGBW.
ABC News, I'm Sherry Preston. A court appearance this morning for the suspect in Philadelphia in the pre-4th of July shooting. 6 shot, 5 dead Monday night. A 40-year-old gunman is accused of being armed with an AR-15 style rifle and a handgun while wearing body armor.
We'll be facing multiple counts of murder, and we'll also be facing multiple counts of aggravated assault as a first-degree felony, weapons charges, among others.
Philadelphia DA Larry Krasner, a 2-year-old and multiple teenagers were hurt in the shooting. That shooting previewed a night of gunfire in multiple cities after the 4th of July fireworks, several shot in Boston and in New York City. In Washington, D.C., 9 people shot in a neighborhood drive-by, including a 9-year-old and a 17-year-old, their injuries not life-threatening. The White House staying mum after a substance believed to be cocaine was found inside the West Wing. President Biden was not there at the time. More tests are being done on the powder. This is ABC News.
For Civic Media News, I'm Pete Schwabe. Here's what you need to know in Northeast Wisconsin. Multiple people are left homeless after a fire in an Appleton duplex. The fire happened on Monday night around 10 p.m. on the 100 block of North Breeze Drive. Firefighters had the fire out in about 20 minutes, but not before it left both units unlivable. One person was treated for minor injuries at the scene. The cause of the fire hasn't been determined, but the estimated damage is $125,000. 3 children were seriously injured in a crash in Oneida. The Outagamie County Sheriff's Office received a call around 6 p.m. Monday evening that there was a single vehicle crash near the intersection of County Road EE and County Road H. When deputies arrived, they found all 3 children with serious injuries. They were taken to the hospital for treatment. Police arrested a 22-year-old Oneida woman who they suspect was intoxicated. The incident is still under investigation. Pete Schwabe, Civic Media News.
Living happily ever after isn't always a reality. If you're over 50 and are considering divorce, attorney Andrea Gage with the Everson Law Firm can provide the guidance you need. Andrea focuses on silver divorces, the kind that get more complicated over time and present unique challenges. A family, multiple properties, significant assets. Andrea and the team at Everson Law have the experience to protect your interests. Call Everson Law to set up an appointment with Andrea today. It's never too late to be happy. Everson Law, 920-435-3734.
Attention, Wisconsin veterans.
Hello, I'm Tony Evers, the governor of Wisconsin. If you are a veteran struggling to pay for rent, utilities, or other life-sustaining services, I want you to know that the Veterans Rental Assistance Program is here to help. You have already made a most noble sacrifice. You shouldn't have to continue doing so. We are here to support you. The Veterans Rental Assistance Program was created by and for people living in Wisconsin, with benefit approvals being issued to veterans in just days, not months. It's never easy to ask for assistance, but rest assured, we're here to help. You've always been there for us. We want you to know that we're here for you. Call 833-WISVRAP. That's 833-947-8727. Or visit VRAPWI.com. On behalf of the state of Wisconsin, thank you.
You could throw your flip-flop at a bug.
Ew, a bug, get it!
But the chances of actually hitting it...
Oh, over there!
...are statistically...
It's still alive.
Unlikely. Good thing nature's got your back. Stem bug killers combine powerful active ingredients found in plants like lemongrass and geraniol and scientifically engineer them into effective bug-fighting formulas safe for use as directed around people, pets, and throughout the home. Stem. Rooted.
Goes Wisconsin. I am Kristen Bry. She is Jane Madnair. He is Greg Bach.
Loving that song.
I know.
Holy cow.
There's a hot theme this hour. Yeah.
And welcome back to As Goes Wisconsin. On what day is it? After I guess a long weekend for a lot of people. Some people worked. I know Todd Alba did a live show on Monday. Yeah. It's for us, but kind of a hodgepodge of who was working, who wasn't yesterday. But I think most people are back to work today. After hopefully not blowing off their fingers. quick, before we get into some headlines, how's this for a headline? Americans expected to spend $100 million more this year on fireworks.
Wow.
Isn't that insane? So sales of consumer fireworks are set to grow by $100 million this year, a 4% increase from last year. Sales of fireworks used for professional shows fell 75% in 2020. Not surprising. But over the same time period, demand exploded pardon the pun, for snaps, sparklers, and novelty devices, driving up sales 90% over 2019. And so that is a lot of money on fireworks. And I guess like professional fireworks are very expensive, but I think you have to imagine like where we were. We went to Madison yesterday.
Yeah.
That the amount of people who just are firing them off in their backyards after like the show, yeah, quote unquote. What is our obsession with fireworks?
Well, so do those numbers include the professionals like along the lakefront where they're spending like $500,000 on, like they're not spending money, they're making their own fireworks, I'm sure, and that's all creation. Like that's what I'd be interested to know. But as far as like the general idea of fireworks, I don't get it. I don't really like them that much. A good fireworks display on the 4th of July, if I'm far away, that's cool. But man, like the 2nd, 3rd, 4th, and yesterday, it has been like
at one point,
I actually asked Bridget, I'm like, is that a firework or is that gunshots? Because they were just like really steady and like fast. They weren't like, you know, like making noises. It was just like pop, pop, pop. I'm like, what is going on? And I hated it.
And I think of all the people with dogs.
Yep.
And I also think about the drought conditions that we're in. And we're blowing things off that set things on fire.
And that was
this,
the thing.
This is a bad idea. And I'm going to say something very unpopular. We should replace fireworks shows with drone shows.
With drone shows?
Yes.
Ooh, those are fun.
They can do amazing. Oh, my gosh.
Shapes.
They do
Jane,
amazing things
Jane,
with drones.
Jane, real quick question. Why do you hate America?
I know. Because I'm a bad person.
Do you know, so...
I'm trash, Greg, apparently.
So it's interesting. So, really quick, the forest, the bear, Smokey the Bear.
Yeah.
Okay.
We
got
all
it.
Know his,
we got there.
His famous line, only you can prevent what?
Forest fires.
Wrong. He doesn't say that anymore. Only you can prevent wildfires. And to me, that just that little change of the word says so much. Because it's not just like, oh, you didn't cover up your campfire. Oh no, you didn't do this. No, it's like, hey, stop with the gender reveal parties and the fireworks on the 3rd of July because you are burning down forests.
And that's interesting because driving and, you know, I mean, I know there's a drought everywhere and we haven't actually, luckily, I think we're supposed to get some rain
later today and
tonight. It looks like there's like rain spattering throughout the week. But I driving into Madison yesterday. I was like, oh man, it is brown here. Madison is very dry right now. And I had that same thought as we were like, so like we were like, because the where we were watching it was one of the golf courses. I was like, how dry is this golf course right now? Like, is this going to be a problem?
Seems like a bad idea.
I've not heard many reports yet of anything going terribly awry yesterday, but the day is still early and I have not necessarily read all of the local reporters. I did hear about the poor people up in, is it Crivet? No, it was Crandon.
Crivet.
That a Wisconsin roller coaster malfunctions.
I saw
with
that.
Riders upside down for hours.
For like 4 hours, they were dangling upside down.
I saw, and I'll show you the video. We'll post this too. I saw a video of a guy, of a roller coaster where the guy went to, like, I think it was in Ohio. He goes, hey, your roller coaster is broken. And that, like a big piece of structure cracked. And every time the roller coaster went past it, it just like pushed it more. And he had to go to the authorities and be like, hey, this is broken. Shut it down.
Stop putting people on this.
Oh my God. Never again.
Yeah.
Naked bike rides and roller coasters. I'm done.
Done. Not today. Maybe not ever again. Mm-mm. See, whenever I see those stories now, I'm getting to the age where I'm like, not worth it.
Is it? Well, and that's just exactly it. How I look at things and think, how badly can this hurt me?
Yeah, I've jumped out of a plane twice, and I don't want to go to a roller coaster.
I have me too.
Yeah.
I did three.
Yeah!
Three!
Yeah.
We should skydive, the three of us.
No.
Okay, all right. Wow. Okay.
How badly can this hurt me?
Jane's,
I think pretty badly.
I have done this.
Yeah.
I don't need to do it again. All right.
Any other news?
We got more news, yeah.
Yeah.
All right, so we'll go. Let's get to the what I'm classifying as the good, the bad, and the goat. The good, I don't know how far it will go. But as news dropped last Thursday of the ending of affirmative action, one of the questions we raised on this show, one of the questions a lot of people raised is, all right, well, what about legacy admissions? Which you know, some schools consider it, some schools don't. Harvard absolutely does. UNC absolutely does.
Most of these Ivy Leaguers, right?
And some, like Johns Hopkins doesn't. I don't know if Marquette does. University of Wisconsin.
I think so.
University of Wisconsin-Madison says they don't. Granted, I think just the nature of you being a UW-Madison grad and the likelihood that your child will be academically successful and that leads them to go, you know, like, right. So, but I don't think it's not a consideration that they list as criteria that they look at. But so when Howard Schwaber was on, Professor Howard Schwaber was on Friday, I asked, I was like, is there anything to be done about legacy admissions? And I think he kind of said, well, it's a different situation. It doesn't fall under what this case would be. But now, activist group challenges Harvard's legacy admissions. Lawyers for Civil Rights filed a complaint with the Department of Education on behalf of Black and Latino advocacy groups in New England. And I don't know, maybe we're now going to have another legal expert on. We can ask Jim Santel.
Perfect.
Or Maggie Dawn of what is the standing for this. But less than a week after the Supreme Court blocked colleges from considering race in the admissions process, a legal advocacy group fired back like a rival's neighbor firework display.
What are we doing?
In a complaint filed with the Department of Education, Lawyers for Civil Rights alleges that Harvard's legacy admissions process, by which students or alums of donors are given preferential consideration, violates federal civil rights law by favoring white applicants over applicants of color. The following stats were revealed in documents pertaining to the Supreme Court case. 70% of Harvard's donor-related and legacy applicants are white. The acceptance rate for legacy applicants to Harvard was 34%.
That's lower than I expected it to be.
It's lower. That's pretty high considering the rest of the non-legacy applicants. Guess what the...
Two.
Six.
Six. Honestly, the reason why it was six, I figured because 95%. You know what I mean? Like, I just expect to be like, Harvard, oh, your grandfather was blah, blah, blah. Come on. Buy us a library.
So I am interested to see where this goes because this has been... I think, you know, to ban one, if this is truly meritocracy, which again, we have not really defined what that actually means, if it's SAT scores, if it's GPA, if it's extracurriculars, if it's work experience, like what should be included and what are universities allowed to have up to their discretion versus the government just going to say, this is what all universities need to be able to do. If you're taking federal money, this is the criteria that needs to be set. But I think if you're saying meritocracy and you're saying, well, it can't be race, why can it be money or your parents, like whether or not your parents were there?
I wasn't able to listen to the interview on Friday because I was working, but did you all bring up the topic of gender as part of affirmative action? Because that's one of the questions I have is that if you ban race as a deciding factor, I mean, like you throw it all out, you're like there's no affirmative action whatsoever. Can you still do it on, like, you know, we want for women or for what, you know what I mean?
Well, it's interesting because already women are overrepresented in universities.
Okay.
And so there's already more women going and graduating from college than there are men. And I don't know if that's because of affirmative action, but
that's relatively recent.
Yeah, that's in like the last 10 years. Yeah. But that's one of the things when the conversations happen around what's happening to men. Of this generation, which that is a valid, I would love to actually have an expert on to talk more about that as far as like, there is a, you know, employment, graduation rates, like all these different markers for men specifically, not like the upper, like highest, most successful men. Cause when we talk about the people at the top, there's still an overrepresentation of men of CEOs and on boards and stuff like that. But as far as like, you know, the bell curve, there's been a dip in all these different outcomes, suicide rates, mental health, all the stuff that's going on with men. And one of the things they talk about is the fact that there's more women going to college. There's more women graduating from college. So like, what's the discrepancy? Yeah. So if anything, I feel like there could be a flip that starts to happen with gender and college admissions of like recruiting more men because it's not a huge imbalance, but I think it's like 55-45. Depending on the school.
You heard it here first, folks. I want to go to Harvard because I'm a man.
Well, speaking of more college news, let's go on to the bad, my opinion. And I know multiple other shows have already talked about this, but it's the first time we're getting to talk about it. Speaker Robin Voss says he'll move to end minority scholarship program after Supreme Court ruling. But the real thing is, this is scholarships. This is not full rides.
This is a minimal amount of money.
He wants to end the minority undergraduate retention grant program that ranges from $250 to $2,500.
Yeah, that
Robin Voss, chef's kiss. I didn't think he could get any worse. And I saw the tweets on this, too.
Is this what he was trying to defend himself against?
Well, many things. Like, I mean, he was digging his heels in all weekend and saying, like, we want to end discrimination in this country. We have to start where, like, you know, in the colleges and make sure it's equal for everyone. I'm like, dude, you're not that dumb. I will give Robin Voss one thing. He's smart. He's very smart. To play that dumb doesn't help you because it just makes you look like the lesser version of your party now. Like, be evil. Be that evil genius. That's fine. Be the Dr. Evil of Madison.
Be the Mr. Burns. Yeah. Excellent.
But when you try to play dumb, it doesn't work well because then you're just like, that's not what you think, really. You don't care. Because he doesn't care in the long run because he doesn't have to. He's got his popcorn, his property, and other things I probably shouldn't talk about. But that's not the point. Go on.
So we'll see if this actually... I'm just... Because this is reporting from Journal Sentinel, also from Hope. Hope was busy this weekend. Hope was writing a lot of articles. But, you know, in it, there's quotes from Rick Essenberg, who is the president of Wisconsin Institute for Law and Liberty. And they've been on this for a while, as the cases that they were bringing up. He's quoted, Essenberg's quoted, saying there's nothing about the Supreme Court's decision that limits it to higher education. Will believes other state laws and programs with considerations of race are now illegal, including the following: awarding state contracts with preferences to race, grants to improve health outcomes among certain racial groups. Let's just talk about the black maternal mortality rate.
The numbers are terrible.
Dorms and spaces within the University of Wisconsin system intended for certain racial identities, various grants that help minority-owned businesses. So they're going to start going after all of this.
Yep.
And that was always the goal.
Yeah.
Always.
Because let's not look at the outcomes and how terrible the racial disparities are, specifically in our state. Consistently, Milwaukee and Racine are considered the worst place to raise a black child. And in overall, when we talk about incarceration, when we talk about education, when we talk about health outcomes, Wisconsin's not doing great. And so some of these programs are meant to help that. But yeah, let's go ahead and get rid of them. All right, we'll have to talk about the goat.
All right.
But we'll also talk about Greg's Roundup.
Greg's Roundup.
We'll be right back. This is As Goes Wisconsin.
Hello, I'm Tony Evers, the governor of Wisconsin. If you are a veteran struggling to pay for rent, utilities, or other life-sustaining services, I want you to know that the Veterans Rental Assistance Program is here to help. You have already made a most noble sacrifice. You shouldn't have to continue doing so. We are here to support you. The Veterans Rental Assistance Program was created by and for people living in Wisconsin, with benefit approvals being issued to veterans in just days, not months. It's never easy to ask for assistance, but rest assured, we're here to help. You've always been there for us. We want you to know that we're here for you. Call 833-WISBRAP. That's 833-947-8727. Or visit VRAPWI.com. On behalf of the state of Wisconsin, thank you.
Bug Tussle, providing high-speed internet to rural Wisconsin. No data caps, no contracts. 877-227-0924. Call today to learn how you can get 3 months free. 877-227-0924.
We've all felt left out. And for people who move to this country, that feeling lasts more than a moment. We can change that. Learn how at belongingbeginswithus.org. Brought to you by the Ad Council.
Here's your updated forecast. Overcast skies this afternoon with scattered thunderstorms likely. High of 84. Southerly winds 8 to 15 miles an hour. Scattered thunderstorms likely. Tonight lows level off around 61. Cloudy skies expected. Slight chance for scattered rain showers. Tomorrow high temperatures reach up to 76. Sunshine mixed with clouds at times. Upper 70s Friday and Saturday. Chance for scattered rain showers Saturday. For Civic Media, I'm meteorologist Ray Miller. Right now, it's 84.
This summer, 1590 AM and 97.9 WGBW has a new starting lineup. 1 to 3, The Todd Alba Show. 3 to 4, Matt Flynn Direct on WGBW.
All right. Well, when you think of the GOAT, who comes to mind? Is it Michael Jordan?
Rafael Nadal?
Wayne Gretzky?
Venus Williams?
Novak Djokovic?
Serena Williams?
Serena
Williams?
Or is it one Joey Chestnut?
Old Jaws?
yesterday, you had to know, it was delayed for 2 hours because
Rain
of
delay.
Weather.
Rain
That's
delay.
My favorite part.
Did you see some of the comments on Twitter about it?
No.
It was great. It was like, one day we'll develop the technology to eat hot dogs indoors.
No, it's like, whatever random, like, out of all the sporting events that go on with whatever kind of weather, like, the hot dog eating contest, we got to wait for the rain to clear.
You know, you're entering into a contest that every doctor has said, please don't do this to your body.
But yes, indeed, Joey Chestnut yesterday inhaled 62 hot dogs in 10 minutes to win the 2023's Nathan's Famous Hot Dog Eating Contest. It's not his personal best, which is 76, but still impressive.
What a loser.
And I don't know if there's anyone, does anyone dominate their sport more than Joey Chestnut does?
By sense of rings, no, I don't think anyone does.
Is there anyone else who's like almost a...
Well, how many times has he won?
Cementing his status among the best athletes of his generation in the women's division. It's his fourth. Chestnut has won every July 4th hot dog eating contest except one since 2007.
So that is...
It's a lot of championships.
That's 16 years. So 15 championships. He's still, a lot of tennis players still beat him.
Yeah?
Oh, yeah. Serena, done.
Yeah.
But still... Not to be, I mean,
not to disgrace his name.
I bow at the altar that is covered in crumbs of one
Chestnut,
Yosef Chestnut.
See, and this is one tradition that I think is just revolting.
Yeah,
and I don't understand why.
Between fireworks,
if you had to get rid of fireworks
dogs.
Or a hot dog eating contest, you can only pick one, Jane. Which one do you get rid
I'll
of?
Do fireworks.
Okay,
you heard it here, folks. Jane Mantenier doesn't like fireworks or hot dogs.
Or apparently American.
Do you even love baseball?
I love bacon.
Is bacon quintessentially American?
I think so, in its disgustingness.
You don't like bacon?
It's fine. It's overdone. It's got a bad backstory to it, and it's a carcinogen. So, ugh.
All right. Well, on that note, let's
but
do
I still, But I'll still eat it every once in a while. I'm not going to say I'm going to eat it. I'm just like, I don't like that we fetishize it. That's my problem. Like the American flag, we fetishize that item. It's like, nothing is better than bacon. I'm like, I'm pretty sure air conditioning is better than bacon because I get warm.
That's an interesting argument.
You know, like, I don't like the fetishization of any sort of item where it almost seems like you are made fun of if you don't like it or don't even prefer it. You know, that's something I dislike.
Okay.
So that's all I got to say about that, or else we'd be on the air for 9 hours.
All right. Well, on that note, we are going to pivot to Greg's Roundup.
Oh, yeah. And there's a new name for it, baby.
Okay.
An old name being brought back, I decided.
All right.
And we can talk about it later or never. It doesn't matter. But this is called the Badger Times Journal Report or Greg's Roundup. 4 or 5 headlines you probably saw but definitely didn't read. Let's start with national news. Hold on. Grandpa's got to put on his spectacles. There we go. Much better. White House news. The White House was briefly evacuated Sunday evening while President Joe Biden was at Camp David after the Secret Service discovered suspicious powder in a common area of the West Wing, and a preliminary test showed the substance was cocaine. Booger sugar. The White House was soon reopened, and the powder was sent for further testing. Upon reopening, it was reported that the Secret Service agents seemed to be speaking at an accelerated pace, discussing such topics as space's infinite expansion of infinite nothingness, or how one agent claims, well, I was the first one to come up with the Fast and Furious franchise. Let's see here. Let's move. More America news.
Okay.
The U.S. citizenship test is about to be updated. The naturalization test is one of the final steps towards citizenship, a month-long process that requires legal permanent residencies, requires legal permanent residency for years before applying. U.S. Citizenship and Immigration Services propose that the new test adds a speaking section to assess English skills. In the current test, an officer evaluates speaking abilities during the naturalization interview by asking personal questions the applicant has already answered in the naturalization paperwork. Outcry has already happened from those who believe the test should be even harder, thus proving one's desire to become a U.S. citizen. One Texas lawmaker was quoted as saying, "This is the greatest country in the history of the world. And do you think when former President Benjamin Franklin sailed over on the Mayflower that beautiful 4th of July morning in 1776, he envisioned an America where you could just walk onto the land and be like, yes, I'm here and this is mine? No, he did not. No, we want to know what you think about America, how American you are, and what you think about the grimmest birthday shake." All right, let's see. We're moving on to tennis news.
Tennis news.
Yes. Well, folks, Wimbledon 2023 is here, and we're out of the qualifying rounds, and this is where it gets hot.
Okay.
We are entering the third day of the first round, which was delayed by rain yesterday, of play, and there are already amazing matches happening, including return of legend Andy Murray, who some thought would retire, but instead won in straight sets against Ryan Peniston. But I have my eye on Carlos Alcaraz, who is a youngster who exploded out of the gates of the U.S. Open in 2021 at just 18 to reach the finals, as well as Francis Tiafoe, the young American prospect who shows guts and wit every time he goes onto the court.
Okay, Greg, but does...
No, okay. So I'm still good. And there's just as much action on the women's side with Carol Zhao winning in straight sets during qualifiers. She's seen as a real contender. But I'm putting my money on Iga Swiatek. Who is no stranger to Grand Slam gold, having won the French Open in 2020, 2022, 2023, and the U.S. Open in 2022, and wouldn't mind adding English gold to that trophy collection. So I'm just...
Great. What's up? Is there a punchline here?
No. I just like tennis. What's the problem? Okay. Tennis is awesome. Everyone makes fun of me.
Who makes fun of you for liking tennis?
That Texas lawmaker who thinks America should be harder. Sandwich news. To undercut its fast-growing rivals, Subway is making a big change to its meats. The chain's roughly 20,000 U.S. locations will freshly slice their deli meat beginning this Wednesday, marking Subway's biggest change since 2 years ago when it started using ingredients that would be considered not yoga mats. Around 80% of the stores will display $6,000 slicers prominently near the deli counter, which led some employees to saying, "Hey, when can I get a living wage?" Now my next goal is just to have Jimmy John's employees be able to read my order when I put it through on the app. And that is a truncated roundup.
There we go. All right. That does it for our first hour of today's show. We're going to take a break for the top of the hour news. When we come back, President of Wisconsin Technology Council, Tom Still, will be here. So we'll talk about what's going on in entrepreneur and innovation and technology in Wisconsin, and what they need from the government to be successful. This is As Goes Wisconsin. We'll be back in just a minute.
This summer, 1590 AM and 97.9 WGBW has a new starting lineup. Starting at 6 a.m., The Mayor and Mino. Then at 8, The Earl Ingram Show. 10 to 12, As Goes Wisconsin. At noon, Civic Media Network News. At 12:15, Town Call. 1 to 3, The Todd Alba Show. 3 to 4, Matt Flynn Direct. 4 to 6, The Devil's Advocates with Dom and Crude. And 6 to 7, The Maggie Dawn Show. On 1590 AM and 97.9 WGBW.
It's never personal, only politics. The Devil's Advocates Radio Show with Dom and Crute. Weekdays from 4 until 6 on your local Civic Media radio station and on the Civic Media app. You're listening to the Talk of Green Bay.
WGBW 1590 AM Denmark. W250 CV Green Bay.
And always streaming on the Civic Media
ABC
app.
ABC News, I'm Reno.